Welcome to WRFG Atlanta, 89.3 FM on your dial. Next up, Alternative Perspectives, Atlanta's only queer radio hour. Hold on tight. And thank you so much for listening to WRFG Atlanta, 89.3 FM on your dial, streaming at WRFG.org around the globe. Welcome to Alternative Perspectives, Atlanta's only local radio hour devoted exclusively to issues affecting Atlanta's queer community. I am your host, Greg Bossen, fresh back from a two-week vacation, and thank you so much for listening, and thank you to Sharon for picking up the ball as I have been away. All right, so the opinions expressed here are those of myself and my guests and do not necessarily represent the views of WRFG, its employees, board, volunteers, funders, or listeners. So tonight's show, well, first of all, how's everybody doing? I do want to give a congratulations to the state of Georgia, because the COVID numbers are down, which is nice. I assume a chunk of it is because of the vaccinations, although I think we only have around 30 or 40% of the state is fully vaccinated. There's a lot of people down there in middle and south Georgia and north Georgia that don't want to get the vaccine. So because it's all a hoax, or it's all fake, or it's going to make my penis fall off, or, you know, whatever it is that they think. So anyway, but just to let you know where we are at, the average cases, the average new cases, 7-day average is 495. And that's back where it was in March of 2000 when this nightmare first started. So up from a high of, you know, 10,000 cases a day back at the beginning of this year. So we have really dropped, and I'm excited to hear that. So congratulations to everybody. There we go. Another thing is, it is Pride Month. So welcome to 2021, June. It is Pride Month. This is my first show of Pride Month. And what I wanted to do, and I do this from time to time, rather than having some fancy pants person come on, I want to interview somebody who's just a member of the LGBTQ community, to have him or her or they tell their story. And so I've done this a couple of times. I've not done it with somebody who's bisexual, but we have somebody who has bravely decided to come on the show with their boyfriend, although this person is bisexual. So I'm pretty excited about it. And so it's going to be very interesting. She's going to tell her story. And then we're also going to talk a little bit about how being bisexual affects or does not affect the relationship with her boyfriend these days. But before we do that,
news of the queer.
I know that's right.
Oh, no, she didn't say what.
So we want to start with this is, I mean, I kind of have to laugh. It's not funny at all, but Atlanta City Council Mayor, Atlanta City Council member Antonio Brown, who is running to become the city's first LGBTQ mayor, had his sport utility vehicle stolen and was dragged several feet along the street. And this was like a week ago Wednesday. A group of four young men, appeared to be around 14 years of age and younger, jumped into Brown's 2016 Mercedes at 11:45 a.m. as he stood a few feet away. Brown left the vehicle unlocked with the key fob inside. The incident took place on Verbena Street near its intersection with Suwanee Avenue in Northwest Atlanta. The thieves left with his cell phone in the SUV, according to an incident. When one of the young men entered the vehicle on its passenger side, Brown and the person he was speaking with went to the driver's side. Brown held on as the vehicle pulled away. We were trying to open the door, Mr. Brown stated, that the male put the vehicle in drive, pulling Mr. Brown before Mr. Brown finally let go of the vehicle. So four kids stealing this mayoral candidate's vehicle. So what's interesting about this is that Mr. Brown has launched his entire mayoral campaign on May 14th, calling on voters to help him reimagine Atlanta, including the city's troubled police department. So this is somebody that wants to reimagine Atlanta's police department and change it around to try and provide to empower safe communities. So this is a liberal guy who's running, gay. It'll be interesting to see how he handles this incident. It's one thing that he's already done is that if police identify who stole his vehicle, he does not want to press criminal charges. I don't know if someone else put them up to doing it. I don't know what the circumstances were, but it was unfortunate to see kids that young engaging in criminal behavior. In an interview with CBS, Brown questioned why the young men weren't in school and called for the city to open recreation centers. Atlanta Public Schools ended its school year on Wednesday. Most city-operated facilities are closed under coronavirus pandemic protocols. On Thursday, Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms announced city swimming pools will reopen on Saturday. The reality is it's extremely unfortunate because why aren't they in school? I mean, these little kids that I would never have thought in a million years would attempt to steal my vehicle, they're the age of my siblings. So it's kind of amazing that this is the reaction that this individual has. He's had his car stolen by four kids, and instead of wanting to press charges and be angry and throw them in prison, he's questioning why they weren't in school, why there aren't other options for them, and what can we do to create a space where these kids won't do this kind of thing. So I think that's pretty cool. I like that. So congratulations to this dude. So again, his name is Antonio Brown, and he's running to become the city's first mayor because, you know, Mayor Bottoms is not running again, which is interesting. I wonder if she's been tapped for some sort of federal position in the Biden administration. We'll have to see. All right, moving on to Ohio, a 14-year-old student in Defiance Middle School in Defiance, Ohio. Ironic, the name is Defiance is the name of the town and the school. This 14-year-old student has opened up about a brutal attack he suffered after carrying a pride flag at school. And there's a video that you can see on Snapchat and Facebook. This is Tristan Torres. He's an openly gay student. And in the video, Torres is sitting on the bleachers. I assume this is from some athletic sports game, football, baseball, I don't know, sitting on the bleachers with a pride flag draped around his shoulders. Another student approaches him from behind, grabs the flag off his back, and slams him down on the bleachers, and then pours water on Therese and chokes him. So he hit me with the flag that I was wearing after ripping it off my neck. Torres further stated that he did not know his attacker well, and he wasn't sure why the student chose to attack him. I know why the student chose to attack him, because he had a flag, gay flag, and there's still homophobia in this country, or there certainly is at Defiance Middle School in Defiance, Ohio. But this kid is ballsy, and I think that's impressive. School officials have assured the community they know about the attack on Tristan Torres and will deal with his attacker. We are aware of the situation, and it was dealt with swiftly with school administration and local law enforcement. Situations like this are taken seriously. We appreciate you bringing it to our attention. The attack on Tristan comes on the eve of Pride Month. Okay, so this happened, I guess, on the 31st. I guess it was yesterday. And on, 2 days ago. And on the heels of several other incidents of homophobic bullying in the U.S. Earlier this month, a school in Missouri came under fire for pressuring teachers to identify gay students for potential expulsion. It was in Missouri. In Texas, students reported homophobic bullying by a teacher who scrawled homophobic graffiti on the sidewalk outside the school. A teacher. Ridiculous. All right, moving on. Tijuana. This is wild. So a city council candidate outed as straight after pretending to be bisexual to win votes. This is trippy. While being LGBTQ is totally cool, and most people would agree, that's not exactly an asset when you want to run for public office. To this day, queer politicians have to jump through a lot more hoops than their heterosexual counterparts. But as a straight candidate running for city council in Tijuana, this person thought that being queer might help give him an edge he needed to stand out in a crowded field. So he lied and said he was bisexual, and now he's been slapped with a lawsuit for misleading voters. So the candidate is Alejandro Acosta, and he signed a document saying he was bisexual when in fact he was not. Now, he said in a meeting he didn't realize that he had signed something claiming to be bisexual and that it had actually led to a big fight with his wife. Acosta's claims that the whole thing was just a big misunderstanding and that they were never meant to, he never meant to say he was bisexual, don't square with his campaign slogan, which is "Together we will make history in Baja California." Together, referring to the LGBTQ community. So we will make history. Diaz Estrada says she believes he intentionally lied about his identity because he thought it would help boost his election chances, but all it really was doing was stealing someone's place in a minority group. According to Diaz Estrada, 10 of the 28 candidates running for office in Tijuana have publicly said they support the LGBT community, but so far only one has claimed to be a member of that community falsely, and that apparently is this individual here, Alejandro Acosta, who again says it was a mistake. Acosta hasn't issued any comment since being outed as straight. So I don't know. I just think that that's kind of funny and ironic and makes me want to go to Tijuana because apparently being gay is cool in Tijuana, which I was not aware of. If I'm wrong, please somebody tell me so. All right. A couple more things we have here. Now, this is something we need to be looking at. The Supreme Court in the United States is expected to release a decision in the coming days that could provide the first glimpse of how its 6-3 conservative majority will shape the future of LGBT rights. The case, known as Fulton versus the City of Philadelphia, is a fight over a city policy, so this is a city policy in Philadelphia, that bars discrimination based on sexual orientation. So after this city, the city policy was passed, citing the policy, Philadelphia dropped a contract with a Roman Catholic foster agency that refused to certify same-sex couples for adoption. So we have a Roman Catholic foster agency that would not extend services to same-sex couples, and so the city of Philadelphia dropped a contract with them. The agency, Catholic Social Services, brought a lawsuit alleging that Philadelphia violated its First Amendment religious rights. So again, we have this fight between LGBTQ rights and religious belief rights. So we'll see what happens with that, but they are set to release a decision in the coming few days. My guess is they will side with the with Catholic Social Services because now we have a 6-3 conservative majority on the court, thanks to Donald Trump, which I'm sure makes some people happy, but probably not anybody that's listening to me at this point. All right, moving on. Let's go all the way over to Uganda, which we've covered before. Not a friendly place to be gay. So LGBTQ Ugandan activists are mobilizing against the sexual offenses bill of 2019 before the president signs it into law. So members of Uganda's parliament caught LGBTQ Ugandan activists off guard with a late night passage and tweet announcing the lawmakers' vote on May the 3rd. So this happened, a little less than a month ago. Lawmakers incorporated elements of the former Anti-Homosexuality Act into this new bill, which is called the Sexual Offenses Bill. It criminalizes homosexuality as well as sex work. And it also removes some consent language during sexual acts, which has angered feminists. It was a surprise that it was passed, says Biggie Wari, the executive director of Freedom and Rome Uganda. We only got to know after it passed. She said most people were scared of the bill because of Clause 11. So Clause 11 of the bill, this reverts back to some wording that was initially in British colonial law, vaguely criminalizing sex, quote, contrary to the order of nature. So basically, this bill criminalizes any sex that is, quote, contrary to the order of nature. That's Clause 11. And what concerns people about this is because it's vague. Who determines what the order of nature is? And in the past, Uganda has used this wording to harass the country's LGBTQ community. Ugandan leaders retained the law in the country's 1950s penal code, and after the country became independent in 1962. In 2000, the law was amended to include lesbian relationships as well as oral and anal sex that could land anyone in prison for 7 years if convicted. Now, why Uganda is so concerned about homosexuality, I do not understand, but yet that's what they spend their time in the government doing. So that's very sad. And finally, Russia. So Russia suggests that Disney is denying family values over a Pixar film with a gay character. So the Walt Disney Company has been put on notice by communications regulators in Russia over a short film. The film's only 9 minutes, I believe. A short film that is available on the conglomerate's Disney Plus streaming service. According to a letter sent to the Burbank, California-based company, the film would be considered content that denies family values and promotes non-traditional sexual relationships, which is against their laws. Walt Disney did not immediately comment on the alleged issue, which was first reported by Reuters. The film in question is called Out, and it's one of several Pixar's Spark shorts. This is a group of shorts released by Disney Plus after some originally premiered on Pixar Animation Studios YouTube. The shorts are produced by Pixar staffers in 6 months under restrained budgets. And in this particular 9-minute short, again called Out, the main character, Greg, not me, a different Greg, is trying to avoid coming out to his family. And in this 9-minute short, Greg and his boyfriend Manuel kiss in the film. So apparently Russia is freaking out about that. And Disney hopefully will hold their own. So that is it for News of the Queer. And with that, we will be right back.
When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you. If your heart is in your dream.
And now for a public affairs bulletin board announcement.
supporters of Imam Jamil Alameen, the black liberation activist formerly known as H. Rap Brown, will gather in front of the Fulton County Courthouse on Friday, June 4th from 4 to 5:30 p.m. to demand his release from prison. Alameen's conviction of killing a Fulton County deputy and wounded a second officer in the West End of Atlanta in 2002 is the result of a deeply flawed trial, according to his family and community and legal allies. For example, a confession by another man admitting that he was the shooter was not allowed into evidence. The Fulton County District Attorney's Office has established a CIU, Conviction Integrity Unit, to re-examine old cases to see if an injustice was done to defendants. Alameen has been incarcerated for almost 20 years, often in solitary confinement and denied needed medical treatment. He has multiple serious health conditions and is in prison far from his family. The demand of the solidarity vigil is for the CIU to exonerate him and release Alameen immediately. The Fulton County Courthouse is located at 185 Central Avenue Southwest, Atlanta, 30303 at Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in downtown Atlanta. Sponsored by the Atlanta chapter of the Imam Jamil.
For those of you that are unaware, that is Erasure, and this is back in the 80s probably, and it's A Little Respect, which is the name of the song, which I think is a wonderful thing for all of us to aspire to giving each other and ourselves. Thank you for listening, and welcome back to Alternative Perspectives. This is Atlanta's only queer radio hour, believe it or not, and you are listening to WRFG Atlanta 89.3 FM on your dial, and I am Greg Boston, your host of Alternative Perspectives. You can also listen to us on WRFG.org. It's streamable around the world, but also this show and all of our shows are uploaded to a podcast site called alternativetalk.org. So you can listen to us there too. All right. So every so often, I like to depart from doing the typical interview where I'm interviewing a writer or an activist or a newsmaker. Writers, by the way, make really good interviewers, interviewees, I guess. But anyway, and instead, I wanted to invite somebody from our own community to tell their own coming out story. I did this actually with myself a couple of years ago, and then I've done it a couple of other times since then, have somebody come and tell their story. And I do this as a way of reminding ourselves, reminding myself, and reminding all of us that it's not just major celebrities or politicians or even activists that are doing brave and bold things that help create positive change in our world. It's not just that. It's all of us. And many times, just deciding to live your own truth in the face of continued anti-LGBTQ attitudes and laws can be a powerfully bold and brave act, the results of which can change hearts and minds of those around you. So with that in mind, also, I guess I mentioned this before, but this is the first show of Pride Month. So this is Pride. June is Pride Month. And so we have a special guest. Her name's Zoe. I'm just going to give her first name. But her name is Zoe, and she is on the show to tell her story. Now, Zoe, remind me, are you 20 or 21?
I'm 20.
You're 20. Okay. So Zoe's a very mature 20. She's in college. She actually is in Chicago, right?
Yeah, I live in Chicago, but I go to school in Michigan.
Ah, Michigan. All right. Okay, cool. And although she is presently dating a man, she identifies as bisexual. So, first of all, thank you so much for coming on the show to tell your story. I really appreciate it. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting because you're only 20, but I don't know. I feel like people in the younger generation are actually, they're more readily available or interested or willing to give their stories. And I think it's really helpful for other people to hear your story because it gives people, not only youth that perhaps didn't grow up as liberal a city as you did, but also just adults, myself included, you know, that whenever I hear somebody tell their story, it makes me feel better. And the thing that's unique is that you're identifying yourself as bisexual, and it's been tough for me actually to find a lot of bisexuals around here. So it's always been interesting to me. So what I want to do is, first of all, I guess I'm curious. You seem to have no problem with coming on the show. Is there any particular reason why you agreed to do this, I guess? Is it just...
I mean, I've already mentioned this to you earlier, but I am pretty open about my sexuality, and you know, it's not something I'm ashamed of. I'm not worried about if my family finds this podcast somehow that they're gonna like, oh my God, you're bi, because everyone that needs to know knows. So I'm not really worried about getting in trouble or being outed. I'm just pretty comfortable with my sexuality, and it's not something I'm ashamed of. So
cool. So let's go back to the beginning, and I'd like for you to just kind of let us know, when is the first time that you, and it'd be neat if you could actually remember your earliest experience of looking at anybody, I guess a boy or a girl, and feeling, you know, attraction for them and wondering what that meant. Do you remember that first time?
I remember my first girl experience, not really my guy, but it's actually kind of embarrassing, but when, so we know the movie Incredibles, right? Like the daughter Violet, I had found, like, I was watching it with my mom's like, oh, this kind of like you, Zoe, like you look like Violet, whatever. And after looking at Violet, and I was like, you know, she's really pretty. And I thought I was like, oh, I guess I want to be her, I want to look like Violet one day. But looking back at it, I felt that same feeling towards her as I did towards like a male character in a movie, or like Justin Bieber when I was younger. I found him attractive for a short period of time. And I realized that, oh wow, that was probably like my first like sexual awakening, was Violet Incredible from the Incredibles movie.
Is that a cartoon?
Incredible, or, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
That's what I mean by being embarrassing, because it wasn't even a real girl. It was just an animated figure that I was like, you know, she's really pretty.
You know, I had a thing for Speed Racer. You probably never even heard of it, but I had a thing for Speed Racer when I was like 5 years old. So that's actually, it's kind of cool. So, all right. So how old were you when that happened?
Oh, six, seven. Because I know it came out like before. I was like a baby, so I wouldn't really watch it. But as I got older, I was like six or seven. Yeah, that's probably what I'm
saying. So when did that? So you noticed that? Are you saying you noticed that in retrospect? You didn't think about it when you were
It until I really, because I didn't know what like bisexual was. Like I grew up with all my family members being heterosexual, and although they weren't like, you can't be bi, you can't be gay, they were never like that. I was just never introduced to that until I really got to middle school, when I started figuring out what that meant. And then
was there a particular girl that you had a crush on in middle school?
Oh, absolutely not. No, all the girls there were very vicious. They were very mean. I just didn't like them as a person. And then even when I befriended my best friend in middle school, I didn't look at her in an attraction like, oh, she's like, I want to be with her. I just saw her as like, you know, this is my best friend. I don't find any sexual attraction towards her or anything. So that's why I didn't realize my sexuality until high school, because I didn't like the girls in my school. I didn't fall for my best friend or any cliche story like that. I just, you know, I was more exposed in high school.
And you told me before, I want people to understand that your elementary school experience wasn't the best anyway. You said that the girls were mean, so you got picked on, not for any sort of gay thing, just in general.
Yeah,
you didn't fit in or whatever, right?
Yeah, I was overweight. I was pretty outgoing as a kid, but then I just got bullied for doing that. So I just kind of like started stepping back, and I was like bullied for my looks, my humor. Like, it was just like stupid crap that little kids wanted to pick on you for no reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So does that mean that was in middle school?
Like fifth, sixth grade.
Okay. And then you went to high school.
Yeah.
And so then how was that a different experience for you?
Well, so I used to have really messed up teeth in grade school. So I got braces the summer going into high school. I cut my hair summer going into high school.
Your hair really short, right?
Pixie cut, like it was like buzzed on the sides, and I had hair on top.
Did you do that? Why did you do that?
I wanted to. I've always wanted to do something with my hair. My hair was long. My hair was like down to the middle of my back. And then I was looking at YouTube videos, and one day I just told my mom, like, I want to cut my hair. You know, I'm going to a new school. It was always on my bucket list. Like, I have a bucket list of things I want to do in my life. And cutting my hair was one of them. And I decided, you know, I'm young now, might as well just do it now. I'm going to a school no one I know is going to, like a fresh start. No one's going to know who I was before. This is me being who I want to be. So I decided to cut my hair just to do it. And then I just kept that same haircut for like 4 years.
And that is, it's not as if you cut it because you were trying to make some statement about your sexuality.
No, because at this point, I was like fully familiar. Like, I was like thinking of the possibility, but like I said, you don't really know until you really experiment with a girl or a guy to figure out your sexuality. So as far as I was aware, I was open-minded at this time.
So then what was, without going into the gory details, unless you want to, like your first experience, was with a girl, I guess.
Well, I had my first kiss when I was 13, so in eighth grade, with a boy, and it was nothing. I mean, it was just like two kids who thought they liked each other, and it was like a little peck. You didn't really mean anything. But then when I got to high school, there was this girl, she was in my advisory, like my homeroom class, and she was bisexual. And then I was like, wow, she's like really pretty. And I realized that I was starting to catch feelings for her. And then she and I became friends and stuff. We never dated or anything. We just became friends. But then
how did you know she was bisexual?
She told me, like I said, my high school was way more accepting than my middle school was.
And how, what grade is this, ninth then?
So I was 14 and she was okay. 14. And she told me, she asked me my sexuality because my hair was short. So she was like, hey, are you like, what's your sexuality? Like, and I was like, oh, I don't know. Like maybe bi. I don't know yet fully. Like I told her my middle school experience. Like it was just kind of like, if you're gay, you're picked on. So I just didn't even think of the idea that I could be gay or bi. And then she was like, oh, well, I'm bisexual. And she was just so confident in it. And I was like, wow, that's the peak I want to feel, like be able to just say like, yeah, I'm bisexual, and just feel comfortable telling someone who you just met. So after hanging out with her for like, you know, the entire school year, I realized like, you know, I really like her. And it's not just like, it was a crush. Yeah. But I also thought of myself like, you know, I want to ask her to be my girlfriend, but like, I don't want to ruin our friendship. So we just always had this like friendship where it was like, we were friends, but we didn't want to like push that boundary of like dating.
Right, right, right. So, and one thing you had told me when we talked the other day is you never felt any shame around this at all. And why is that, would you suppose? I mean, where does that come from? I mean, I just find it amazing because for me, I felt a lot of shame when I was realizing I was attracted to the same sex.
Yeah. For me, like I said, I wasn't raised in a household that really pushed bisexuality or heterosexuality. But as I mentioned the other day, I had gone to Pride Parade, I think the summer of 2015. So before I cut my hair and before I really went to high school, I had gone to Pride Parade with my best friend from middle school. Her mom's gay, so she was always open. She was just like, you know, just come with me. It's gonna be fun. Let's hang out. So we went, and then at the same time, my mom went to the Pride Parade. However, I didn't go with her. She was at some other section. And then walking down the middle of the street, there was like parents holding signs like, my son's gay, my daughter's gay. Like, if your parents don't accept you, I'll hug you. Like, free hugs, things like that. Like, kids whose parents rejected them because of their sexuality, these people are coming forward and being like, I will be a fatherly figure, a motherly figure. If you need one, I'll give you this moment to hug me. And I thought that was really sweet. And then I guess like later on when they passed by my mom, she had texted me saying like, you know, Zoe, if you're gay, I'll love you even more. Like, don't ever feel like you can't come out to me or anything. And this is like, I've never hinted anything. I think she just wanted to say it just to say it. Just so
right.
I'm struggling with this. And she felt as though I couldn't come out, that she was like, you know, I'm not going to look at you any different. And I think that was like the moment that I really started thinking about it, because I didn't know how my parents felt about gay or bi, because they never talked about it. I didn't want to ask them, because then it would immediately be like, why are you gay? Are you bi? And then if they didn't accept it, then I'm just kind of in the standpoint like, oh crap, like, I don't know.
Haven't even made the decision yet. And you're already feeling a negative repercussion if you push one way.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And like I said, I had came out to my mom accidentally. It slipped in a conversation, because I think I was talking about my friend in advisory and how she was bisexual. And at this time, that girl was dating another girl. And then she had recently came out to her parents, and her parents just shut it down. They're like, you're not allowed to see that girl. She can't come over. You got to come home after school. So she had such a negative experience coming out to her parents. And I was talking to my mom about it, because my mom knew the girl, and like we talked. And then she was like, well, like, what's your sexuality? And I said, well, I'm bi. And then she was like, bi? That's when I realized, like, oh, yeah, surprise. Yeah, I'm bi. And then she was like, oh, okay. And then that was that. Like, she didn't really care. I guess she might have knew at some point, and this is after I cut my hair. Like, this is months after Pride, like, after I cut my hair. And I started realizing I'm bi, that I really like this one girl. And it's not just... it was a crush, but it felt more, because I was like, this is the first girl I really like. And I don't know, it was something new, I guess.
Yeah. So I guess what I'm wondering, because I would assume that some girls that age that felt attraction for and had fallen for a girl would have described themselves as gay. But you knew that you weren't necessarily gay at that point, so you obviously had crushes on boys as well then.
Yeah.
Is there a difference for you in terms of like what your feelings are when you're liking a girl versus when you're liking a guy?
Yeah, definitely. When I have feelings for a girl, I feel like I become more masculine, in the sense of I would take the role of a boy, quote unquote, in a relationship with a girl. And you know, I would be the type to like hold the door open for her, and then like walk on the opposite, like on the street side when walking next to her, and, you know, doing the more romantic things. And then like the things that are expected of men in a heterosexual relationship. And then when I was in a relationship with a guy, I would be the one having the door open for me. I would just kind of be like, I don't know, like a woman in that sense. It was just something that I just did naturally. I don't know why, but I felt like my dad always raised me like, this is what a boy's supposed to do for you. Like, he's supposed to open the door for you, sit on this side of the street. And since I was raised like, okay, that's what a guy's supposed to do, I just did it out of like, to be gentleman-like, I guess, to a female.
That's really interesting. So even though as far as gender identity, like, I mean, you could be gay or you could be straight, you could like a woman or you could like a man, mm-hmm. but the other gender constructs around what it means to be a man, what it means to be a woman, you kind of like you took those roles on depending upon who you were attracted to, which I think is interesting, which I don't think that's what you're doing so much now, right? Yeah. In your current relationship.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm the most feminine woman out there. I am pretty like, I used to be a tomboy as a kid. So I think that's mm-hmm. how my mom first started realizing like, I didn't like being put in dresses. I didn't like bows, any of that. I always wanted to wear shorts. I always wanted to play in the dirt with my brothers. So I think that's why my mom started guessing maybe I was bi. They always say your parents know before you know. And so as I'm older now, I still don't prefer wearing dresses. I like having my hair up because it gets my face, not in a cute way. I don't style my hair. I don't wear makeup. I skateboard. I don't do, I guess, girly things to this day still.
Mm-hmm. All right. For those of you that are just joining us, by the way, I'm just going to reintroduce you. You're listening to Alternative Perspectives. Greg Bossen. This is Atlanta's Queer Radio Hour. We're speaking with Zoe, and she's kind of basically telling us her story, her story of coming out, her as bisexual. So, is it important? it's important that you're not misidentified, I assume. You don't want to be thought of as a lesbian. You want, you consider yourself bisexual. I mean, that's an important thing for you.
For a period of time, I would say my junior year, after I had gotten out a very toxic relationship with a guy, I did consider myself lesbian because that guy left such a bitter taste in my mouth about men in general. Like, he was just so, like, you know, just a bad guy. And so I would have considered myself lesbian during that period of time just because I was specifically aiming just towards women. I did not want to give men another chance. And that was just, like, a really low point in my life. Like, I was having just issues within myself, nothing with my sexuality, just within myself. And then as time progressed, I started giving guys a second chance, I would say, like at this around my senior year.
Okay. Now, have you been in love?
Yes.
Have you been in love more than once?
I wouldn't call it love the other times. I think it was just infatuation.
Okay. Like,
just being like really attracted to somebody that you convince yourself it's love.
Okay. And that was that usually with girls, or that happened with both girls and guys?
One guy, and that was like the very like the douche, like the really bad guy. And then it was probably with two girls.
Yeah. So have you had any sort of backlash with this, with friends or maybe distant relatives? It sounds like your immediate family has been good with it, but.
Yeah. I don't really see my distant relatives, like just to family reasons. But when it came to my friends, I mean, I have a lot of straight friends, like, which is kind of weird because I have like maybe one bi friend, and she and I have known each other since seventh grade, but my straight friend, the one I knew in middle school since like seventh grade as well, she's super straight and she's never like felt uncomfortable with me when I came out to her. She was like, oh, okay. I was like, are you like, just letting you know, I never had feelings for you. I'm not saying that I'm like hitting on you or anything. She's like, no, I know you don't. And I'm not feeling any type of way. So I felt really comfortable coming out to her. And then my best friend that I met in high school, my freshman year, she knew off the bat that I was bi. I told her straight up. And I told her, like, don't worry, I'm not hitting on you. Like, you're not my type. And it's just, like, I feel very fortunate to know that my friends don't look at themselves as, like, oh, no, like, Zoe's going to hit on me. Like, oh, like, feeling uncomfortable around me. Like, they still do, like, things around me. Like, if I sleep over, they don't care about sharing a bed with me. They don't feel like I'm ever going to make a pass on them. Like, they feel, especially now, like, obviously now that I'm in a heterosexual relationship, they don't think twice about it. But even beforehand, like, I was never looked upon, like, differently or as if I was going to do something to them.
Right, right. Well, it sounds like you've had a good experience so far. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back from the break, I think we're going to spend a little bit more time on, you know, your current relationship and where you are now with things. And all right, so you are listening to Alternative Perspectives on WRFG Atlanta 89.3. We will be right back. All right, there we go.
I waited till I saw the sun. I don't know why.
When you feel so tired, but you can't sleep, stuck in reverse.
All right. That's Fix You by Coldplay. And before we went to break, it was Norah Jones. Thank you so much for listening. Welcome back to Alternative Perspectives, Atlanta's only queer radio hour. I'm your host, Greg Bossen, and we are speaking with Zoe. So when we were, before we went to break, Zoe, we were talking about that you really haven't had really a bad experience in your childhood. It sounds like you encountered a lot of acceptance. You are 20 now, you're in college, and you're in a heterosexual relationship right now, which I'm is it a heterosexual relationship? Part of me is like, what does that really even mean? You know, like if you're bisexual, are you ever in a heterosexual relationship? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, it is considered a heterosexual relationship because I'm a girl, he's a guy, and we're dating. However, it's like if you see a girl and a girl dating, you're going to consider that a lesbian relationship, even though one of them might be bi and the other one might be completely lesbian. So I would call it a heterosexual relationship. I'm not sure if there's another terminology for a bi person, a straight person to date, but I still consider myself bi in the end. So that's all that really matters to me.
Yeah. So tell me, and I should say that your boyfriend is on the line. So Wesley, you want to go ahead and say hello to everybody?
Hey, how's everyone doing?
All right. Okay, cool. All right. And Wesley's 21. And how long, Zoe, have you known him?
Oh, wow. We met on an online chatting site on July 7th of 2014. It was actually Wesley's 14th or 15th birthday. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. And I guess rather than going through the details of how you got to know each other and everything, I guess what I'm curious about is, and this, I'll start with just kind of a general question, but what does it mean to be bisexual? Like, how does it affect your relationship with Wesley, or does it? What does it mean to be in a heterosexual relationship when you're bisexual, I guess?
Definitely there is some issues that could happen. So before even dating Wesley, I was in another relationship with a guy and he was super insecure. Every girl I talked to just in the hallways, it was assumed that I was dating her on the low key. And he was just super insecure, and that was on him. I took blame for a while that maybe I just shouldn't talk to girls. But then at the same time, then I couldn't talk to guys because I'm bi, I like both. But with Wesley, it's completely different because since we've known each other for so long, I knew him before I knew my own sexuality. And then we talked throughout the years, and then Wesley found out I was bi, and he never looked at me any different. At the time we were just friends, and he knew what he was getting himself into while dating me. He knew that just because I find him attractive and that I love him doesn't mean that my sexuality changes. And we've had many talks about loyalty, and just because I like girls and guys doesn't mean that I fall for anyone my eyes, land on, just as much as he doesn't find every girl he sees attractive that he'll fall for.
Yeah. And I think that that's a real, common misconception, even with just straight men and gay men. A straight man will assume that if a guy is gay, he's going to be attracted to every straight man. And it's like, no, that's not the case. But it's interesting. So this boyfriend that you had before Wesley was extremely jealous when you spoke to girls, but not so much when you spoke to other guys?
No, guys too.
Okay.
For some reason he felt more jealous when I talked to girls, because I guess I guess he was just insecure, because I guess he didn't want to be labeled as you got cheated on by a girl who wants another girl. Did you turn her gay? I guess it's seen as a bad thing if a girl dates a girl after getting out of a relationship with a guy, because people assume, oh, you turned her gay. So I guess he was just very insecure about the idea of that happening. But he was also just very manipulative and toxic to begin with. So it was just I couldn't talk to anybody at all. He made me cut ties with my own friends that I've never even had feelings for. And it was just, not fair at the time.
Yeah. That's actually an episode on Seinfeld. George on Seinfeld dates a woman, and then he ends the relationship, and then he runs into her a year or two later, and she's with another woman, and he's just so distraught.
I think that's also in Friends. I think I haven't seen Friends in so long, but the characters married someone, and then they a year later they turned out to be a lesbian or something.
Yeah, well, I had said this before, but it feels like, and maybe this is something that you can really address, Wesley, because, and I said this to you, it would feel, I guess the one of the thoughts about her being with another woman or talking to another woman is that other woman might be able to provide something that you couldn't. But that's not your experience at all. I guess you don't feel that way, right?
No, I don't feel that way at all. And it's like, it's just like a loyalty thing because we trust each other so much and we love each other so much. Like I just don't see her talking like romantically with another person, guy or girl. And, you know, it would just be like another, I guess, relationship for anyone else. If you were like devoted to that person, you wouldn't like romantically talk to another person. And I just don't have worry.
Right. So that, and I guess I did want to ask you, so like, how do you feel about the fact that she identifies herself as bisexual? Is that something that you share with your friends? Is that something you don't share? Or like, do you worry about what other people would assume based on that fact?
I wouldn't worry. I mean, it wouldn't bother me at all. I mean, I don't like flaunt off my sexuality. I've told people that she is bisexual and it doesn't bother them. So, I mean, it doesn't really come up that often in conversation, but when it does, no one really says anything. It's just, this is 2021 now, so.
Yeah, well, it's 2021 in Chicago and Atlanta, but it's not 2021 in Meridian, Mississippi, you know, and that's one of the reasons why I think it's important to hear these stories. And that reminds me, actually, so Zoe, are you okay with him telling people that you're bisexual, or is that something that bothers you?
No, not at all. I don't care. Even if he doesn't mention it, I mean, at the end of the day, I know my own sexuality. He knows it. Mm-hmm. And if the world knows, okay. If the world doesn't know, okay. Like, I'm not affected either way.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So then, and this is, you know, to the extent that you guys want to talk about this in the time that we have left, but your sex life. So, like, how does this inform your sex life, I guess, being bisexual? Because I'm assuming that there are things that you might want to do, you know, I don't know. I'm just going to throw the question out there and you tell me what you feel comfortable saying.
I would say that in high school, I definitely did get my fill for women. I did things that I guess I wanted to do at the time. And, you know, I was a virgin for men. Like, I haven't lost my virginity until I was 18. And it was actually Wesley who I lost my virginity to. And that was like over a year ago. And, you know, but with women, I did a lot more with women than I did with guys to begin with. Because I feel like with guys, it's just kind of like, it's just immediately like you have to get into sex. And I wasn't comfortable doing that with just some random person I've met, some random guy. When it came to girls, I guess since there wasn't, I would still consider I lost my virginity to a girl, but I wouldn't consider, I don't know. It's like for a guy, Wesley was the one I lost my virginity to. And he was the one, I guess, like broke my hymen on all that. But when it came to sexual acts, it was definitely girls that I experimented more with before I started dating Wesley.
So I think what you're saying is that when it comes to guys, sex, you know, somehow means, you know, penis in the vagina. Mm-hmm. Whereas girls, that's not something that can necessarily happen. So you're free to explore all kinds of things. It all means sex.
Yeah. For girls, it's like, there's different things you can do with girls and you can do with guys. And it's definitely like a lot of, you know, experimenting, I guess. I don't know how far I can get into this, but.
Well, as far as you want to, it's up to you.
Yeah. I mean, like with girls, it's like, it could be just sex. It could be more intimate with guys. It could just, you know, it's just like, I don't really know how to really word it. But I would just say like with girls, there was more to do, I guess, because with guys, it was like, or it is just penis into the vagina. Of course, there's that foreplay. There's that oral section. But with girls, there's just, I guess, more to do.
Like what? Well, give me an example, because like, I'm not a lesbian. I've never had. You know.
Like using toys. Like, since I'm a girl, I know how to work a vagina. So doing things that I wouldn't do with Wesley because I don't know how to work a penis per se because I don't have one. So I would like use toys on girls. Mostly what I would do in high school is I would help girls figure out their sexuality if they were really into girls or if they were just into the idea of girls. So if girls were like, hey, I might be into girls.
You would volunteer to help.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I'll take the baton. Like, you know, you know, I'll help you figure this out. I don't know, during this time, I was a very low point and I was, you know, screw it. I was just like, I'll just, you know, I'm young, might as well do it now. Like, cause I'm going to a Christian college. I'm not sure if I'm going to have the same experience at this point. So I was like, you know, screw it. I'm just going to do whatever I need to do. And I was having my fun. They were having their experiments and I just, you know, I saw no harm in doing it. So.
Yeah. So it sounds like you definitely are good at, you've had a lot of experience in helping a woman orgasm. It sounds like that.
Yeah. I've had my fair take and I think I'm tapped out now. I think I'm good. I don't need.
But I would guess that would make it, that's something, that's education that you could impart upon Wesley then.
Yes. I mean, I wasn't Wesley's first time having sex, but I was his first time for other things. So I, like, he can go into it if he wants to, but you know, like.
I guess what I'm wondering is like your experience with women may, you know, how that informs your experience with Wesley in a real love relationship. You know, it seems like it might be able to enrich it.
Yeah. Well, definitely with the girls, it was just sex, I would say. Like, it was just, you know, we're bored and let's do this, blah, blah, blah. But with Wesley, it is like making love. Like, this is more intimate. And even like, I just feel comfortable enough with him that if there's moments where I'm like, actually, I don't want to do this, I'm not feeling like I'm disappointing him. And she's like, okay, fine. But with the girls, if I was like not in the mood, it was just kind of like, then why am I here? What's the point of this?
Yeah. Yeah. So Wesley, for you, I guess, I don't know. Do you feel like that the experience of having sex with her, have you been able to learn things from her? Has it been different? Like the fact that she's bisexual, has it changed the experience for you at all? I would say. And if so, how?
I mean, honestly, I wouldn't say it's changed anything, but, you know, I think it's good because, you know, it lets her know more about herself, and maybe in the future we shall see what happens. Definitely.
What does that mean?
Maybe she could, you know, teach me something more. I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
But you're open.
Yeah, you're open, definitely. Definitely.
Cool. Cool. All right. Okay. So I guess, Zoe, I mean, what is it that you would want people to know or to get from listening to your story? If there's anything that you could help somebody that's younger and is trying to figure out what they are, their sexuality, is there anything in particular you'd want to impart about your experiences?
Yeah. I'm definitely very fortunate to have an accepting family and friends. And although I won't ever really understand the struggle of coming out because I didn't make it a whole display. I felt like I didn't need to. I think it's still important that you stay true to who you are. If you do come out to a family, they don't accept you. There's nothing wrong with you. It's just how they view it. And, you know, I don't want you to feel as though you have to change who you are for your family or your, like, someone you're dating. If you're a girl and you're bi and you're dating a guy and he tries to make you feel bad for your sexuality, that's not the right relationship you need to be in. Or if you're bisexual and dating a girl and she tries to make you full lesbian, that's not fair to you. You are who you are and it's your choice inevitably to decide who you want to be. And although you can be influenced and advised by outside people, in the end, it's your decision if you want to take the advice. And I just think it's really important just to stay true to who you are, because I'm bisexual and I'm dating a guy, but that doesn't make me straight, you know?
Right, right. I think that's really well said. I really do appreciate that, Zoe. And I hope that people learn from your experience. It's really great to have a positive story, and you've given us that. And thank you, Wesley, for being brave enough to come on with her and to share your experience. So.
Definitely. No problem.
All right. Cool. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us. Thank you so much for listening. And I will see you next week. But enjoy this full month of Pride. I'll talk to you later.